Let's turn in our Bibles to James. We'll look at James 3, starting at verse 13, and to give honor to God and His holy word, we'll stand for the reading of God's word, if you're able. James 3, starting at verse 13. This is God's holy and infallible word. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show his good behavior by his Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering and without hypocrisy. And the seed, whose fruit is righteousness, is sown in peace by those who make peace. Let's pray together. Our glorious God, bless this, your holy word, and help us, we pray, to grow in the fruit of the Spirit, in being peacemakers, in being those who pursue after righteousness, and helping us as well to be gentle and reasonable, full of mercy, and all those good fruits. Help us to seek that true wisdom from above. For we ask all these things in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. You know, one of the benefits of doing preaching through a book consecutively, like we do here in this church, is that if you really maybe get a little frustrated that you passed up something that you really should have touched a little bit more on, you all you got to do is next time you preach, go back to it and touch on it again in your introduction. I do want to express to you my delight in studying this book of James. And the main reason why I am delighting in studying this book of James is because it has caused me to look more at something called perfectionism, Christian perfectionism. And if you want to look a little bit more at that, I have a footnote in the outline. You can look, there is a website you can go to, archive.org, that has this book in a scan form. You can read some of this book, and it'll give you some of what John Wesley teaches. So that way you don't have to take my word for it. You can read what John Wesley has to say. The book in particular that John Wesley wrote was A Plain Account of Christian Perfection. And in this book, he wrote this: A Christian is so far perfect as not to commit sin. That includes being free from evil or sinful thoughts. And he goes on to say that anything less is to be a babe in Christ, and anything less is to be half a Christian. So if you still have sinful thoughts, you're half a Christian. If you still have sinful thoughts, you're a babe in Christ, according to John Wesley, because you haven't reached maturity of being a perfected Christian. That's baloney. That's baloney. And to read James and to look at James and to see that James is teaching perfectionism is a misinterpretation of James. But keep in mind, John Wesley uses this book, and uses especially chapters 1 through 3, as a means of ammunition to supply his false doctrine, his doctrinal error. Again, I don't believe James is teaching this doctrine. But I do want to say that I have come to appreciate the minority translation of the New not the New American Standard, but the NIV 1984 edition. The NIV translates, go back to chapter 1. Chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. And read along with me these verses, but I'm going to read it from the NIV 1984 edition. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. You notice there that the word used instead of perfect is mature. There. All right, now the NIV does the same thing. Well, it did not follow the same thing. Let me correct myself. It did not follow the same thing in chapter 3. Look at chapter 3, verse 2. He says, James says, for we all stumble in many ways. I think James is including himself in that. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Now, if the NIV was consistent, it would translate the word perfect there as a mature man. Mature. The Greek word used here, teleos, means perfect, mature, or complete. Teleos. You know, you can tell that there's a root word, maybe you've heard of this, the telos. From the Greek, the telos is the end goal or the end result that you want to pursue. Some people might say, what's your telos? What's your end goal? And the end goal is maturity. Because perfection in this life, as far as sinless perfection, is not going to happen. And Jesus says, be perfect as I am perfect. We are not to be satisfied with ever being less than perfect, but we're not going to get there in this life. But we can pursue, as James talks about, Christian maturity or being complete in Christ. Now, this epistle of James has a great deal to do with personal testing. You are to be tested in this life. We're tried in this life. We're put through trials and tribulations in this life as a way of validating us as being a true diamond rather than a false gem. In other words, you're authentic rather than fake, right? So the telos, or end goal, James would say, for the Christian, is spiritual maturity. Now, keeping that in mind, James went on to teach us how to get there. One of the ways how we get there to spiritual maturity is by pursuing wisdom from above. And that wisdom from above would result in righteous living. As we look at that, he gives us a way to identify who is truly wise and understanding. Look at verse 13. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. So we're going to look at this test of sorts in under this main heading. God calls you to seek his wisdom from above and its fruits, the fruits that result from that wisdom from above. That's what God has called you to do in this life. And we'll look at this in two main points. Wisdom from below and its fruit, and wisdom from above and its fruit. So let's look at this first section, this first heading, wisdom from below and its fruit, verses 14 through 15. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. Now, a good definition of jealousy is this. Maybe you don't know. Well, jealousy can also be described as envy, but then you say, well, how do you define envy? So jealousy or envy is to feel resentment, bitterness, or hostility towards someone because they have something that you don't have. Well, maybe you should imply that something that they have that you don't have, but you would like or you wish you had. Now, jealousy can have a range. It's not always hating someone for what they have. One can be just merely bothered by a feeling of resentment because of another's blessing. Now, James goes on and says something he describes as a bitter jealousy. Now, that bitter jealousy is something that would involve emotions such as hatred or anger. Now, you might ask, well, what can people get jealous over? People don't just get jealous over material gain, over stuff, houses and cars and things of that sort. People can be jealous over other things in one's life. You can be jealous over another person's marriage, over another person's relationships, over another person's family. You can be jealous over a person having a lot of good friends when you wish you had good friends. You could be jealous because of someone's skills or talents. You could be jealous over someone's physical stature, someone's appearance. The list can go on and on what someone might be jealous over. Now, you have to remember this, that when you struggle with jealousy, I found one of the best verses in the Bible is actually used from Leviticus 19:18, the golden rule. Love your neighbor as yourself. Put yourself in the shoes of that person who has something. Okay? Put yourself in the shoes of that individual who's worked diligently for years upon years to save for a house, and they finally saved up and bought a house. But you, wouldn't it hurt your feelings? If you were that individual who worked hard, bought the house, would you want others despising you because they don't have that? They don't own their own property? That would be horrible. That would be transgressing the golden rule. You wouldn't want someone to do that to your kid or to yourself. Why would you do that to someone else? So place yourself in their shoes and remember that. Another passage to combat jealousy is 1 Corinthians 4:7. Now, Paul used this verse here to fight arrogance. But in fighting arrogance, he said this: "For who regards you as superior? What do you have that you did not receive?" And you can imply, what do you have that you did not receive by God's sovereign hand? So when you're tempted to be jealous over someone, remember that whatever it is that they have, even if it's been through hard work on their part, ultimately God allowed them to get that. It's been by God's sovereign hand that he allowed them those blessings of whatever it is that they have, whether it's a relationship or whether it's a goods and houses or whatever. It's by God's sovereign hand that he's allowed them to have those things. So if to be jealous with them, you need to be angry with God, because it's really God who's allowed them to have those things. So I believe that passage there from 1 Corinthians 4:7 is very useful in combating arrogance, but also useful in combating jealousy. James next warned about the sin of selfish ambition, verse 14. Now, the Greek here can be translated as merely selfishness or selfish ambition. Now, what is ambition in the first place? A synonym for ambition would be a strong aspiration, right? A strong desire to achieve something or do something by means of hard work. Is that an evil thing? to have a drive, to have an aspiration to work hard and gain things to support a family. In fact, the scripture says in Proverbs 10:4, poor is he who works with a negligent hand, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. God seems to encourage a diligent hand rather than a negligent hand. In other words, their motivation, drive, aspiration, diligence, or maybe you could say even to a degree an ambition for something, is worthwhile. The key is, what's it for? What are you having aspirations or strong desires for, and why? Do you want lots of money for the purpose of glorifying yourself? Or do you want to raise a large family? If a person wants to gain wealth to raise a family and for God's honor and glory and to help others, then that's not a selfish ambition, but it's a godless desire. I mean, it could be a godly desire, but the ambition or aspiration becomes evil if it's filled for the purpose of some wicked desire. In verse 14, James said, if you have bitter jealousy or selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. I could paraphrase this in saying, rather than cover your sin, why don't you confess it? Confess your sin and ask God for help with it. Two key passages in dealing with perfectionism and someone who claims to be sinless, who wants to cover up their sin and lie against the truth, are Ecclesiastes 7:20. There is not a righteous man on earth who continually does good and never sins. 1 John 1:8. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So someone says, well, I don't need to repent of my sin. These are particular passages that we could show people. Now, I'm surprised at this, to actually give a recommendation for the NIV twice in one sermon. But the NIV 1984 edition in this passage puts wisdom in quotations, because I think that's the intention of James. It's not really true wisdom. It's what someone would say is wisdom. I would call it a pseudo-wisdom. So I agree with this. This wisdom, pseudo-wisdom, so-called wisdom, is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. It's what a fallen world would say is wisdom. It's what a corrupt, fallen mind would say is wisdom. It is a pseudo-wisdom, and ultimately, in God's sight, it's really vain and foolish. That's why I like that. Put this so-called wisdom, right? James told us that this so-called wisdom, pseudo-wisdom, is earthly, natural, demonic, and it bears forth bad fruit. Look at verse 16. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. Think of all the laws that we have in the United States based upon man's wisdom. The welfare system and how it has destroyed families. The welfare system that has encouraged people not to get married but to have kids out of wedlock. When you have a system like that, man's wisdom, what do we see? Disorder and every evil thing. You know, we really should seek, not only for ourselves, but for our lives and for our country, God's wisdom. But on a personal level, if you try to mold your life according to man's so-called wisdom, rather that is from from the earth, from demonic teaching. Your life is going to be filled with strife. Your life is going to be filled with every sort of evil thing rather than godly things. Every sort of evil will follow you if you live according to this jealousy and selfish ambition. It says, for where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. Think about the sins that people commit because of jealousy. They're jealous over someone, so they hurt them. They're jealous over someone, so they even murder them. They lie about them. They gossip about them. Someone has a selfish ambition or selfish desire that could lead to fornication, adultery, lying, theft, again, slander, hatred, murder. All those things can happen because of those sensual, selfish, ambitious desires. Instead of these things, brothers and sisters, what are we to seek? True wisdom from above. And leads us to our next main point. Wisdom from above and its fruit. Look at verse 17. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Notice where this wisdom comes from. This wisdom is from above. It comes from God, right? So because this true wisdom comes from God, we must ask him for it. And that's what James begins this epistle with. He begins it with the statement of what we should do in asking God for wisdom. James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So this wisdom from above, it's pure. It's untainted with sin. It's untainted with any error of any kind whatsoever. When I was preparing this, I was thinking of this beautiful hymn. 'Twas on the night when doomed to know. And in that hymn, John Morrison wrote these words. Then in his hands, that's in Jesus' hands, the cup he raised. And God anew he thanked and praised. While kindness in his bosom glowed, and from his lips salvation flowed. Beautiful language. Salvation flowing from the lips of Jesus. But it's not just salvation that we get from Jesus. True wisdom comes from Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:29-31, Paul told us why no man ought to boast before God. But by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus. In other words, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, it's because of God's doing. Who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So Jesus became wisdom from God unto us. And redemption, righteousness. So that just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. True wisdom comes from Christ. Don't boast in yourself. Boast in Christ. Now, how do you know if someone has this true wisdom from above, given through Christ? James told us that such a recipient would bear forth certain fruit as evidence of a true and lively faith in the Lord Jesus. Look at verse 17. They will bear fruit such as being peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. Now, keep in mind, brothers and sisters, no Christian is going to be perfect or wholly sanctified in these areas of life. But a Christian will grow in these areas of life as they grow more and more in putting sin to death. But I want us to look at a few of these. The first one I want to look at is that wise Christians ought to be peaceable. In other words, they ought to be peacemakers rather than troublemakers. Speaking of such a person, he goes on to say in verse 18, "The seed of whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." There's a plethora of interpretations on this. But I like the words that Dr. Simon Kistemaker used when he also quoted the Expositor's Bible. He says that in the context of James's discussion on heavenly versus earthly wisdom, this means that righteousness cannot be produced in a climate of bitterness and self-seeking. Righteousness will grow only in a climate of peace. If you sow peace, you can sow righteousness. James goes on to say that having wisdom from above will be gentle. Now, the word here for gentle is not the same word that is often translated as meek. The word here can be translated as yielding, gentle, kind, courteous, or tolerant. Now, the tolerance here is basically tolerating others' sins and imperfections. But it doesn't mean tolerating wickedness. So in other words, this movement we have in our modern culture for us to be tolerant toward homosexuality, I don't think that's the kind of tolerance that we're looking at here. But when your brother or sister says something, maybe they weren't thinking when they said something, and maybe they said something hurtful. You know, to be tolerant in that way is, you know, it's connected with being full of mercy, as we'll see in a little bit. Overlooking a trespass or overlooking a sin. When someone sins against you, not holding their sin against them, but being tolerating them. Now, there are that overlooking another sin is mentioned there in Proverbs 19:11. It's an important passage. But that's how we're to be tolerant, by showing kindness and mercy to others. Because you know what? When people sin against us, we have to remember, you know, we're not perfect and we sin against others as well. Someone I did know pointed out that very often, you don't have to always bring up and use Matthew 18. If someone sins against you, it's the glory of a person to sometimes just overlook the fault. But if you can't, and that's when you have to maybe take it up a step and try to seek and follow Matthew 18. But wise Christians are tolerant and merciful to others. It's not just we think of God being merciful, but we need to be merciful to others in that sense. Now, wise Christians, it's also mentioned that they should be reasonable, according to verse 17. And it says here that they are to be unwavering. When I think of a Christian being unwavering, that means one who is persevering in the faith. If everyone around you and your family is falling away from the Christian faith, the unwavering Christian would say something like this: "Where else should I go? Only Jesus has the words of eternal life. Only Christ can be my Savior and my God. Where else should I go?" So they're unwavering. Even though others forsake him, you don't forsake him. You're being steadfast, persevering. And by the way, the reason we persevere in the faith is because God preserves us, that preserving blessed grace. But you won't have that unless you're pursuing wisdom from above. Lastly, a wise believer is one who is without hypocrisy, mentioned in verse 17. In other words, he or she has a genuine faith. Right? We can a lot of us could improve in these ways. But one example of having a genuine faith is that what we see here on a Sabbath day is pretty much what we would see in the home as well. In other words, a person who is genuine is not one way at church and then a different way at home, but it's pretty much the same, both at church and at home. But again, there's a lot of room for improvement in that area. Brothers and sisters, God calls you to seek wisdom from above. Not only wisdom from above, but the fruit that flows from that wisdom from above. This pseudo-false wisdom from below is that which bears forth evil fruit because it's earthly, natural, and demonic. And it leads to disorder and every evil, wicked thing. Instead, seek true wisdom from above. You're not going to be sanctified beyond the point of never sinning. But if you seek the wisdom from above, you can become a mature, complete man or woman in Christ. In that maturity is one is who's been tested and proven, validated as a true believer. Evidence that God has done this saving work in you is that you have fruit, that you bear forth fruit of the Holy Spirit, such as in Galatians 5, but also these other fruit mentioned here, which has some overlap, being peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy, unwavering, persevering, and without hypocrisy. If you feel, Lord, I'm not where I should be. None of us are really where we should be. Confess your sins. Ask God, God, forgive me of my sins. I'm not the way I should be in this life. Forgive me of my ways, but Lord, help me to be one who bears forth fruit that shows that I have wisdom from above. Have mercy upon me, and Jesus will cleanse you by his perfect blood. And more so, he will reckon unto you his righteousness by faith. And then you will bear forth much fruit as his child, as his son or daughter. Let's pray together. Thank you, our glorious Lord, for this, your word. We thank you that in Jesus and in this Holy Scriptures, you have given us that true, blessed wisdom from above. Help us, we pray, in this life not to pursue the wisdom from below, thinking according to man's thoughts, but help us, we pray, to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Help us, we pray, to honor you, to love you, to keep your word, and to bear forth much fruit in keeping with that wisdom from above. Forgive us of our sins and help us in these things, for we ask it all in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. It's time for our closing hymn. Let's turn to 391. Come, O come, thou quickening spirit.